And so far in the book of Joshua, we've learned a lot of things. I mean, the first chapter, really God was speaking to Joshua as he was taking the mantle of the authority or leadership of the children of Israel. And he told him that he would take care of him in this situation. So all he was trying to do in the first chapter was to get Joshua to understand that the things that Joshua was getting ready to do were going to be directed and guided by the Lord. Just to trust him in everything. No matter what the Lord would tell him, just follow that and he would be in the right place. And of course, they did that, and we saw the positive and the negative. Positive at Jericho, when they did the battle there, of course it came down just like God said. And then the battle of Ai, when they fought there the first time, they made a mistake by not really seeking God's direction in that. And of course, somebody had sinned in the camp, which really demonstrated what can happen in a Christian's life. We can be blessed or cursed depending on how we respond to God's word. That's that simple. And so we see that God is blessing them. He's trying to guide and direct them. And we're coming to chapter 9. And here we see again that that Joshua is not perfect. You know, God puts us in the Bible for us to help us understand. We make mistakes too. You know, and sometimes mistakes are costly. A printer's mistake is corrected. A postmaster's mistake is forward. A teacher's mistake is a failed student. A dentist's mistake is a full tooth. I don't like that idea. Electrician's mistake is a shocking experience, or worse. A lawyer's mistake is a prison sentence. A pharmacist's mistake is a premature funeral. And, of course, you know, it's been said that it's only those who do nothing that make no mistakes. And we can say, yeah, that's true. Because if you do anything somewhere down the road, you're going to make a mistake. We all do. But some mistakes are more costly than others. And in this chapter, we're going to see that there's a mistake made. It's really an act of disobedience. Again, I don't necessarily believe that when God tells you to do something, it's not really right to call it a mistake if we don't do it. We need to realize it's just disobedience and we should have done the right thing. But even through that, God can still work, and he does. And that's, again, demonstrating to us that God can work in our lives even when we don't do right. He can fix that. And it's never right to try to correct something with another mistake. And I think we'll see some of that in this chapter as well. Let's just begin reading the chapter, and we'll just look at it for a few minutes. It says, "And it came to pass," this is chapter 9, Joshua, "when all the kings were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work wily, and went and made as if it had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, and old and rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make a league with us. This is our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they are rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That's an important verse in this passage. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them and let them live. And the princes of the congregation were congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shepharah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be ewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore ye have beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from among bondmen and ewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you, therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand. As it seemeth good and right unto thee, do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day ewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day in the place which he should choose. Excuse me. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the complete picture of what's going on. We know that you could have written or had men of God through the Holy Spirit have put things in the Bible that were just positive, and that it was just all right. But you put in there things that demonstrate to us the struggle that every human has. Even though we are the children of God, we still have to make choices. And even though we're children of God, we can be deceived. And Father, we know and understand that choices always have consequences. And Father, I pray now that you would help us and just be an encouragement to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see that these folks came up, and there was a mounting army. And of course, the army wasn't the problem. He knew the army was there. God told him he could go before them and they were going to conquer that army. But what happened was there was somebody, the Hittites, and I guess four tribes there, the Jebusites, of the Jebusites, heard about what God was doing. And through that, they were afraid. So they went to Israel, and they came to Israel in a certain way. They came, and their shoes were old shoes. Their bread was old, moldy bread, dried out. The clothes looked like they haven't been changed for probably months, maybe. And everything they had was just worn out. And, of course, Joshua looked at the situation. And the children of Israel, the princes, looked at the situation. And what they saw was this people that looked like they had come from a far place. And that's what they told us. We've come from a far country. We've heard about your God. We've heard about what's going on. And, you know, so here we are. We want to make a league with you, make a pact with you. Now, it tells us right here in verse 14, and the men took of their victuals, and it says, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. This is always the first mistake of every Christian, is when we make decisions and we don't consult God about it. That's the mistake. Because we want God's blessing in our life. Everybody does. But often we'll do something or choose to do something without seeking God's counsel. Now, the Bible tells us there's a safety in a multitude of counselors in Proverbs. Well, in this case, that didn't help them. the princes weren't any good in their council. In fact, they went a step farther than Joshua did. Joshua just said, okay, you guys can stay with us. But look what the princes did. Joshua, it says in verse 15, Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. So they made a covenant, basically a vow of the Lord, and said, we have a pact, and we're going to swear we're never going to touch you, never going to hurt you, never do anything to you. And of course, we know that if we're not careful, we could be in the same situation, because a lot of things are going on here. First, we have the deception. And who wants to deceive us more than anybody else? The devil, as a roaring lion, right? Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's the one who wants to do that. He comes in like a slithering snake sometimes. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Well, here these guys were transforming themselves into somebody that was not in the land of Canaan, that came from afar. And yet, they were 3 days away. And so we see that this was a situation. Now, should have Joshua known better? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20 for a second. Not too far. Deuteronomy chapter 20. They're given some instructions here. Let's begin in verse 10. And again, they were given all the instructions they needed prior to going to the land of Canaan. God had given it to Moses. Moses had shared it with the children of Israel. And I know Joshua would have been there and heard it. In verse 10 it says, when thou comest nigh unto the city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make the answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. So here is a command that if you come against the city and you make peace with it, and they're peaceful, they'll be your slaves, basically. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thy hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the woman and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself. And thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not the cities of these nations. But of the cities of the people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. So in the land of Canaan, they were supposed to destroy everything. In the far cities, like these Jebusites said they came from, they could actually make peace with, okay? So it was available for them to do that if they came peacefully. But in those cities where God had promised them, they were supposed to destroy everything. Verse 17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. So the Jebusites were supposed to be destroyed. And so he said that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. He's saying, we want you to destroy them, because if you don't, you will be influenced by them and you will sin against your God. And that was the purpose of that. And so he gave them that instruction. He said, if somebody comes from afar and they're coming peacefully, you can make peace with them, but they're going to be your slaves. But in the land of Canaan, you destroy everything. So that's why Joshua made a pact, if you will, or made peace with these, because they beguiled him, but he didn't seek the Lord. If he would have sought the Lord, I'm sure the Lord would have revealed to him something that he would have been able to understand these folks were not who they said they were. I don't know how the Lord would have done it, but I am sure he would have. Why? Because God told him to destroy those cities and those people in it. And so they made a vow, the princes did, and they made that vow to these folks. And of course, as they made this vow, they no longer had the opportunity to do that which they should do. I mean, if they wouldn't have made the vow, the princes, I think Joshua would have killed every one of them. Let's read on and see. Verse 17. And verse 16 says, "And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Shephrah, Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel." The princes made a pact, and they made it in the Lord's name. Now, would it have been right for them to have killed them after they made that decision in God's name? I don't think so. I think God would have frowned upon that. And of course, you saw the response of the children of Israel. It says all the congregation murmured against the princes. Like, you can just see they're probably wringing their hands, standing around and saying, "Why'd you do this? That wasn't smart. That wasn't wise. Why'd you do this?" But the fact is, they did it. And because of it, they were stuck. It's the old proverbial rock in a hard place. Many of you have been there. You know what that feels like. Well, that's where they were. And it all really stems from the counsel they got, not seeking the Lord. If they would have sought the Lord, I know God would have revealed that to them. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding." That's what they did. They didn't trust God, but they looked at the situation. They saw the folks and how they were dressed, and they just thought in their mind, well, they must have come from a far country, and they want peace. We can make peace with them. That's okay. And so just because they didn't trust in the Lord and leaned on to their understanding, they weren't directed by God. And so they were in this situation. It's a mistake we make sometimes, and we need to be careful that we look to the Lord in these decisions. So here they are. They're stuck. And through this thing, as they realize they were in this situation, we see that, let's see here. Verse 22, it says, "And Joshua called for them and spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you, and when ye dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and ewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servants, servant Moses, to give you all the land and destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing." You see, that's what often takes place. It's a testimony of the power of God. And that's how people put their faith and trust in God. When they see other Christians that are serious about serving God, they see how God directs their life, how they submitted to Him and trust Him in these things. They hear of these things. They hear that God is doing something special, maybe in your life, and they're wondering, why is that? Why do you act the way you act? Why don't you do what you do? Adam has been approached several times, and I'm sure a lot of the guys have, about going to this party they have over here. He says, "I'm not going." And the reason he's not going is because they drink and it's just a big shindig and he's not going to be around it. And but the thing is, they ask him. Not one person, but two or three. Jed asked him last year, and he told him, he says, "Because I'm a Christian. I just can't be in that atmosphere. I just don't want to be around that." I'm talking about a Christmas party. And the fact is that's a testimony. And it's funny because not one person asked him, but two or three asked him if he would go to the party. And I'm scratching my head and says, why are they so worried about you going to the party when they got everybody else going to the party? I mean, who cares if you're there or not? They're not going to miss you. I think it's because of a testimony. When you stand for the right things, it bothers people. Why aren't you coming along? We want 100% participation. Is that any reason to go and put yourself in a bad place? No. If you follow the world, yeah, that's what happened. But if you're willing to trust God and follow Him, you're going to stand out. There's going to be a testimony created there. I hope that testimony is with all our men, that we have the same testimony of understanding that it makes a difference on how people view us. That's what happened here. Those people, the Jebusites, heard about God's power, heard about the things way back when Moses was alive, and they knew this was coming to pass. And of course, I'm sure they heard about Jericho. They heard about AI, and they're sitting there probably thinking, we don't want this. We don't want to be part of this. Let's go fool these guys and see if we can make a pact with them. And of course they did. And God could have told Joshua to kill him. He didn't. And he was stuck with the situation. But the silver lining in the whole thing is the deception is being uncovered. We realize that God is going to allow these people to remain, but they're going to become the servants. And they would be the guys that would go cut the wood. They'd be the guys who draw the water. And they agreed to do this. They agreed to become slaves. And so that's the silver lining in this, is that God allowed them to do this. Although the principle still is true that when you make a decision, seek the Lord, and be careful don't to swear an oath to somebody about something. And that's as simple as saying, I'll do something sometimes when you don't really have the intention to do it. It's better to preference that with, I'll try to do it if I can, instead of, I'll be there and then don't make it. But if, I mean, obviously there's circumstances that come into our lives that we can't help. But if it's just that, well, you know, I'll say it lip service and not show up, that's a different thing. And so that's kind of a principle we need to learn and stick with as well. So here we see God is going to bless them. Verse 27 is the last we'll read. It says, Joshua made them that day ewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day in the place which he should choose. And so really, you think about that situation. You think about what's going on there. There's two or three things. The first thing is that we can be deceived if we're not careful. How do we thwart the deception? How are we going to be able to stop from being deceived? What is the principle? What can we do? That's it. That's the bottom line. Seek counsel from the Lord. So how do you do that? How do you seek counsel from the Lord? Okay, read your Bible. What? You've been reading your Bible. Do you know everything in it? Do I know everything in it? Nope. I'm trying to learn as much as I can, but I don't know everything. But part of it is you want to go to counsel that's wise as well. You don't seek counsel from your neighbor. You don't seek counsel from your relative that's lost. You seek counsel from someone you know that is serving God and living their lives for the Lord. Now, they may not give you the perfect wisdom. If they give you wisdom outside of this, then it's not wisdom that you want. But if that wisdom goes along with this, then you've found somebody with wise counsel. So as we don't know everything, we need to be willing to seek that counsel and seek wise counsel, people who are in touch with God, because it'll make a difference in our lives. And we all need that at times. We need somebody to come alongside and help us when there's a decision to be made and we're not 100% sure, have peace about it, or have searched the scriptures and haven't found something. Then it's wise to talk to somebody else, because they may know. I mean, talk to your wives, husbands, and the same thing with the wives, talk to your husbands. So God is good, and he wants to take care of us, and he promises to. We have the victory. Just like the Israelites have the victory here, we have it as well. But sometimes we, just like the Israelites, we stumble because we're deceived or we're not seeking the Lord's counsel. And we want to make sure that's what we're doing. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that you would just continue to bless each one here. I pray that you would guide and direct and the folks in our church, that you would help them as they trust you and walk according to your word. We thank you for it now, in Jesus' name.